Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 17, The Divisions of Faith. Text 4. Yajante Satyaka Deva. Yajante Satvika Deva. Yaksha Rakshasmi Rajasa. Yaksha Rakshamsi Rajasa.
Yaksha Rakshamsi Rajasa.
Pretan Bhutaka Nams Chanye.
Pretan Bhutaka Nams Chanye.
Pretan Bhutaka Nams Chanye.
Pretan Bhutaka Nams Chanye.
Yajante tamasajana.
Yajante
tamasajana.
Yajante tamasajana.
Yajante satvika devan.
Yajante satvika devan.
Yaksha rakshasmi rajasa.
Yaksha rakshasmi rajasa.
Pretan bhuta ganams janye.
Pretan bhuta ganams janye.
Yajante tamasajana.
Yajante tamasajana.
Yajante satvika devan.
Yajante satvika devan.
Yaksha rakshasmi rajasa.
Yaksha rakshasmi rajasa.
Pretan bhuta ganams janye.
Pretan bhuta ganams janye.
Yajante tamasajana.
Yajante tamasajana.
Yaksharakshamsi rajasa.
Preta
bhuta ganams chanye.
Yajante tamasajana.
Yajante satvika deva. Yajante satvika deva. Yaksharakshamsi rajasa. Yajante satvika devan.
Yaksha
rakshasmi rajasa.
Preta
bhutam ganam chanye. Yajante tamasajana. Anyone else?
Yajante
satvika devan.
Yajaraksasmi
rajasa.
Pretan bhuta ganam chanye.
Pretan bhuta ganam chanye.
Yajante tamasajana.
Yajante tamasajana. Anyone else?
Yajante
satvika devan.
Yaksharakshasmi
rajasa.
Pretan bhuta ganam chanye.
Yajante tamasajana. Yajante worship. Sadvika. Those who are in the mode of goodness. Devan. Demigods. Yaksha rashamsi. Demons. Rajasa. Those who are in the mode of passion. Pretan. Spirits of the dead. Bhutaganam. Ghosts. Cha. And. Anye. Others. Yajante. Worship. Tamasa. In the mode of ignorance. Jana, people. Men in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. Those in the mode of passion worship the demons. And those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. Purport. In this verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead describes different kinds of worshippers according to their external activities. According to scriptural injunction, Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipable, but those who are not very conversant with or faithful to the scriptural injunctions worship different objects according to their specific situations in the modes of material nature. Those who were situated in goodness generally worship the demigods. The demigods include Brahma, Shiva, and others such as Indra, Chandra, and the sun god. There are various demigods. Those in goodness worship a particular demigod for a particular purpose. Similarly, those who are in the mode of passion worship the demons. We recall that during the Second World War, a man in Calcutta worshipped Hitler because thanks to that war, he had amassed a large amount of wealth by dealing in the black market. Similarly, those in the modes of passion and ignorance generally select a powerful man to be God. They think that anyone can be worshipped as God and that the same results will be obtained. Now, it is clearly described here that those who are in the mode of passion worship and create such gods, and those who are in the mode of ignorance, in darkness, worship dead spirits. Sometimes people worship at the tomb of some dead man. Sexual service is also considered to be in the mode of darkness. Similarly, in remote villages in India, there are worshippers of ghosts. We have seen that in India, the lower class people sometimes go to the forest, and if they have knowledge that a ghost lives in a tree, they worship that tree and offer sacrifices. These different kinds of worship are not actually God worship. God worship is for persons who are transcendentally situated in pure goodness. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23, it is said, Sattvam visuddham vasudeva shabditam. When a man is situated in pure goodness, he worships Vasudev. The purport is that those who are completely purified of the material modes of nature and who are transcendentally situated can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Impersonalists are supposed to be situated in the mode of goodness, and they worship five kinds of gods. They worship the impersonal Vishnu form in the material world, which is known as philosophized Vishnu. Vishnu is the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the impersonalists, because they do not ultimately believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, imagine that the Vishnu form is just another aspect of the impersonal Brahman. Similarly, they imagine that Lord Brahma is the impersonal form of the material mode of passion. Thus, they sometimes describe five kinds of gods that are worshipable. But because they think that the actual truth is impersonal Brahman, they dispose of all worshipable objects at the ultimate end. In conclusion, the different qualities of the material modes of nature can be purified through association with persons who are of transcendental nature. Om Gyanatim Randesha Ginanjala Shalakaya Chakshura Miditam Yena Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the deepest darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Didati Swapadantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakritatam Sagna Raghunatham Vidamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagna Radita Sri Visakam Vidamscha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master and unto the feet of all the Vaishnavas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, along with his elder brother, Sanatan Goswami, as well as Raghunath Das and Raghunath Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta, and Srila Jiva Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Krishna Chaitanya and Nityananda, along with Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, and other associates. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, along with their associates, Lalita and Vishakha. Which one is Lalita and which one is Vishakha? The one standing next to Krishna is Lalita. And the one standing next to Radharani is Vishakha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Kopesha Gopaka Kanta Rata Kanta Namostate. My dear Krishna, you are the friend of the distressed and the source of creation. You are the master of the gopis and the lover of Radharani. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Rate Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priya. I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnav devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire trees, and they are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The verse again, men in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. Those in the mode of passion worship the demons. And those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. First of all, I just wanted to mention something out of the purport about the impersonalists. In India, there are two kinds of transcendentalists, the personalists and the impersonalists. So the personalists believe that the Supreme has form, and the impersonalists say that the Supreme has no form. But as we can see from Bhagavad Gita, if you look in chapter 7, text 24, let's see what it says there. Krishna says, unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. In the second chapter in verse 2, in the purport, there's a verse I wanted to bring up. So if some people say one thing and some people say another, who are we going to believe? How do we know who to believe? Let's ask someone who knows more than we do. Let's ask someone with four heads. Brahma created this universe, and he says, it's quoted in 2.2. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadira De Govinda Sarvakarna Karnam. The translation given here is, there are many personalities possessing the qualities of Bhagavan, but Krishna is the supreme because none can excel him. He is the supreme person, and his body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He is the primeval Lord Govinda and the cause of all causes. Brahma is saying that Krishna's personal form is supreme. So that's the one that we accept. That's the one that Srila Prabhupada accepts. So Krishna came 5,000 years ago, and he appeared on earth looking like a human being. And some people thought he was a human being. And this is Krishna's comment, 9:11. This is what Krishna says. Avajananti mamudha manusintanam asritam parambhava majananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So although Krishna looked like a man, he was still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was the first point I wanted to make. The next, I wanted to mention these five kinds of demigods. In the purport, Prabhupada mentioned five kinds of demigods. This is the way the Mayavadis, they do some deity worship temporarily, and it's called Panchopasana. And the five demigods are Surya. Who's Surya? Yes, the sun god. Ganesh. What does Ganesh look like? He has an elephant's head. He's the son of Durga. Durga Devi, she's Mother Nature. Shiva and Vishnu. These are the five that they worship. Prabhupada describes Shiva as an incarnation of a quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the greatest of the demigods. He's a guna avatar. And he's almost on the level of Vishnu. In the purport to 7:14, Prabhupada describes he's almost on the level of Vishnu. And Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna. If you take a candle and you can light other candles which are as powerful, but the original candle is Krishna. That's how it's described in the Brahma Samhita. And there's one thing that I was curious about in the purport. Prabhupada says, philosophized Vishnu. So this expression I looked it up in the Veda base, it's only mentioned once, and that's here. He doesn't talk about it in any conversations, he doesn't write about it in any other books that I found. Sahajaswami wrote a book called Dimensions of Good and Evil, and he explained it as that these people worship an imaginary form of the Lord in the heart, an inner Lord, but they're not motivated by devotion. They just see God as an order supplier. Please give me this, please give me that. You know that there was a joke that about God. The story goes, there was a man who's praying, please, I want to become God. And he's praying so intensely that God says, okay, we'll swap places. You take my place and I'll take your place. And after a week, the guy comes back and says, can we swap back? He said, but you were praying for so long, you wanted to be God, what happened? Ah, the whole week all I hear is give me this, give me that. Treating God as an order supplier. I want this, I want that. And this kind of worship can't release us from the cycle of birth and death. And I wrote in brackets, gods and dogs. You can become a demigod, or a person, or an animal. The cycle of gods and dogs. So we're reading today about the three kinds of worship according to the three modes. So let's start with ignorance, the mode of ignorance. People in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. So in Haiti, they've got something called voodoo. And in India, there are some people who get into tantra and worship different kinds of ghosts. Bhuteja, ghost worship. Bhuteja, that's ghost worship. Prabhupada gave the example once of people who worship past leaders. He said Washington, George Washington, Gandhi, people who are not around anymore. But actually, we don't know where the soul of that person has gone. So just to worship their body, that's in the mode of ignorance. Preta means spirits of the dead. Some people worship evil spirits. So let's see where they go. 9:25, if you want to look it up. 9:25. It's an important verse. We have to learn it to the Bhakti Shastri. Yanti deva prata devan pitrin yanti pritri vrita bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhya jinopimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth amongst the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth amongst such beings. And those who worship me will live with me. And you might say, well, go to the demigods, that'd be pretty good. Go live on the planet with the demigods in opulence and long life and lots of sense gratification sounds quite good. Worship in the mode of passion. First of all, I want to talk about that. People in the mode of passion worship the demons. One example I can think of was Hiranyakashipu. People were worshipping Hiranyakashipu, but not because they liked him so much, but just out of fear. He was saying, I'm God, you have to worship me. So they did, they worshipped him, they offered deity, but out of fear. And some people worshipped, Hitler. If you look at the old films, German films, how they were worshipping Hitler. He would walk into the assembly and everyone would say, Heil Hitler. And they were kind of worshipping him. They thought he was great, they thought he was wonderful. And so people in the mode of passion choose some wealthy or powerful or strong man. Some people, youth, they sometimes worship pop stars. They stand outside the hotel calling the name of the pop star and crying. And that's also a kind of worship, or a football star in a different way. They worship him, glorify him, and put posters all over the wall. Prabhupada said, if a man has no God consciousness, he's a demon. The asuras, the atheists, they're envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The yakshas and rakshasas. The yakshas have mystic powers, they can do magic, and the rakshas are man-eaters. Srila Prabhupada said in one conversation, it's in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3.20.20, the representatives of yakshas and rakshasas still exist in some countries of the world. It is understood that such uncivilized men take pleasure in killing their own grandfathers and holding a love feast by roasting the bodies. Yakshas and rakshasas. And who's the king of the yakshas and rakshasas? Or the head man? You've heard of him? Yes, Kuvera. And Krishna even says, 10:23, of all the Rudras I am Lord Shiva, of the Yakshas and Rakshasas I am the Lord of Wealth, Kuvera. He's got a lot of money, maybe that's why they worship him. There was one guy who, in Krishna book, who said that he was God, Pondrak. I was listening to this story last night. Pondrak, chapter 66, the deliverance of Pondrak and the king of Kashi. The story of King Pondrak is very interesting because it proves that there have always been many rascals and fools who have considered themselves God. Even in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, there was such a foolish person. His name was Pondrak. And he wanted to declare himself God. While Balaram was absent in Vrindavan, this King Pondrak, the king of the Kurusha province, being foolish and puffed up, sent a message to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but King Pandrak directly challenged Krishna through the messenger who stated that Pandrak, not Krishna, was God, was Vasudev. In the present day, there are many foolish followers of such rascals. Similarly, in Pandrak's day, many foolish men accepted Pandrak as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he could not estimate his own position, Pandrak falsely thought himself to be Lord Vasudev. Thus the messenger declared to Krishna that King Pandrak, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had descended on earth out of his causeless mercy just to deliver all the distressed persons. So he challenged Krishna, and I won't tell the end of the story, I don't want to spoil it for you. You might guess what happens. Something to do with the Sudarshan Chakra. Krishna chops off his head with his disc. And next point I want you to make was that people in a mode of goodness worship the demigods. And example from Krishna book is the Indra Yagya. The cowherd men in Vrindavan were worshipping Indra. And Krishna said, "Why are you worshipping Indra? Therefore, please let me know the purpose of the sacrifice you are going to perform. Is it according to Vedic injunction? Or is it simply a popular ceremony? Kindly let me know in detail about the sacrifice." On hearing this inquiry from Krishna, Maharaj Nanda replied, "My dear boy, this ceremonial performance is more or less traditional because rainfall is due to the mercy of King Indra and the clouds are his representatives. And because water is so important for our living, we must show some gratitude to the controller of this rainfall, Maharaj Indra. We are arranging, therefore, to pacify King Indra, because he has kindly sent us clouds to pour down a sufficient quantity of rain for successful agricultural activities. Water is very important. Without rainfall, we cannot farm or produce grain, and without grain, we cannot live. Therefore, rain is necessary for the successful religious ceremonies, economic development, and ultimately liberation. So we should not give up this traditional ceremonial function. If one gives it up, being influenced by lust, greed, or fear, then it does not look very good for him." So that's why the cowherd men were going to do the Indra Puja. And there was... Let me see what Satyajit was doing. He was worshipping the sun god. This is from chapter 56, the story of the Shaman Takajul. Since he was a great devotee of the sun god, King Satyajit gradually entered into a friendly relationship with him. The sun god was pleased with him and delivered to him an exceptional jewel known as Shamantaka. When Satyajit wore this jewel in a locket around his neck, he appeared exactly like an imitation sun god. Putting on this jewel, he entered the city of Dwaraka, and the people thought that the sun god had come to the city to see Krishna. They knew that Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was sometimes visited by the demigods. So, while Satyajit was visiting the city of Dwaraka, all the inhabitants, except Krishna, took him to be the sun god himself. Miss a little bit out. When Satyajit was visiting the city of Dwaraka, the citizens felt great pride to think that although Krishna was living in Dwaraka like an ordinary human being, the demigods were coming to see him. They informed Krishna that the sun god, with his glaring bodily effulgence, was coming to see him. The citizens of Dwaraka confirmed that the sun god's coming to Dwaraka was not very wonderful because people all over the universe were searching for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. people all over the universe who were searching for the after the Supreme Personality of Godhead knew that he had appeared in the Yadu dynasty and was living in Dwaraka as one of the members of that family. Thus the citizens expressed their joy on this occasion. On hearing the statements of his citizens, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, Krishna, simply smiled. Being pleased with the citizens of Dwaraka, Krishna informed them that the person they described as the sun god was actually King Satyajit, who had come to visit Dwaraka city to show his opulence in the form of the valuable jewel obtained from the sun god. Satyajit, however, did not come to see Krishna. Instead, he was overwhelmed by the Shyamantaka jewel. He installed the jewel in a temple to be worshipped by brahmanas he engaged for this purpose. This is an example of a less intelligent person worshipping a material thing. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that less intelligent persons, in order to get immediate results from their fruitive activities, worship the demigods created within this universe. The word materialist means one concerned with gratification of the senses within this material world. Although Krishna later asked for this Shyamantaka jewel, King Satyajit did not deliver it. On the contrary, he installed the jewel for his own purpose of worship. And who would not worship that jewel? The Shyamantaka jewel was so powerful that it daily produced a large quantity of gold. So, by worshipping the sun god, he got this jewel which was producing heaps of gold daily. That's another example of worshipping the demigods. And another example I wanted to give was Rukmini. Who's Rukmini? Rukmini, who is she? This is the first wife that Krishna married, Rukmini. So, just before she got married, the night before, she went to the temple to worship the demigods. As Rukmini proceeded, she was supposed to marry someone else. She was supposed to marry Shishupal, but Krishna kidnapped her from the... But she doesn't know yet that he's there. So she's gone to the temple to pray, I don't want to marry Shishupal, please let me marry Krishna. Even though it's all arranged, everything's arranged, that they're even there, that the bridegroom's party, everything's arranged, that she shall marry Shishupal. So she goes to the temple, and everyone thinks that she's going to go to pray for a nice marriage, but she's going actually to pray, oh, please let me marry Krishna. Anyway, Rukmini proceeded towards the temple, she was silent and grave. Her mother and her girlfriends were by her side, and the wife of a Brahmin was in the center. Surrounding her were her royal bodyguards. This custom of a would-be bride's going to the temple of a demigod is still practiced in India. As the procession continued, various musical sounds were heard. Conch shells, drums such as panavas, and bugles of different sizes combined to make a sound which was not only auspicious, but very sweet to hear. Thousands of wives of respectable Brahmins were present, all dressed very nicely with suitable ornaments. They presented Rukmini with flower garlands, sandalwood pulp, and a variety of colourful garments to assist her in worshipping Lord Shiva and Goddess Durga. Some of these ladies were very old and knew perfectly well how to chant prayers to Goddess Durga and Lord Shiva. So, followed by Rukmini and others, they led these prayers before the deity. Rukmini offered her prayers to the deity by saying, "My dear Goddess Durga, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you as well as to your children. Goddess Durga has 4 famous children, 2 daughters." Who are they? 2 daughters? The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the goddess of learning, Saraswati. And her 2 sons are Kartikeya and Ganesh. Yes. They are all considered to be demigods and goddesses. Since Goddess Durga is always worshipped with her famous children, Rukmini specifically offered her respectful obeisances to the deity in that way. So that's the example of a bride worshipping the demigods. And what does Krishna say about this? He says something about it in chapter 7. First we'll look at 722. Let me see. Maybe we'll start with 20, 720. Tamaistas derita kyana prapachante anya devata tam tam niyamamastaya prakrichani tasvaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. 21. Yo yo yam yam tanam bhakta sradai architam ichati tasita cha chalam sradam tameva vidadam yam. I am in everyone's heart as the supersoul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. And then 22, endowed with such a faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. But in actuality, these benefits are bestowed by me alone. So although the demigods give what they ask, if you ask something from a demigod, they give, but with permission of Krishna. Krishna has to give his permission. Let me see what it says in the purport. The demigods cannot award any benediction to their devotees without the permission of the Supreme Lord. And then Krishna continues the next verse. Antavatu phalam tesham tad bhava chalpamedisham devam deva yajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. The thing is that what the demigods give is, for a start of, it's temporary, it's limited and it's temporary. They can give you heaps and heaps and heaps of gold if you have a shamataka jewel, but it's temporary and it doesn't help you get back to Godhead. It just keeps you in the material world. Supposing we go to the planets of the demigods, what happens next is described in 921. Even if they go to the planets of the demigods. 921. Tetam bhuktva svargalokam vishalam kshine punye marchalokam vishanti evam trayadharma manu prapana gata gatam kama kama lavante. When they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. So some people, they do sacrifices, karmakanda, to go to the planets of the demigods, and they do all kinds of good activities and to get some good karma to be able to go there. But when the good karma is finished, then they have to come back here. Great. You just had 10,000 years of pleasure and you get back here. Must be like a bit of a disappointment. Can you imagine if you go to the... Some people say, oh, I wouldn't mind going to one of the heavenly planets. But if you come back here after 10,000 years, what's it going to be like here in Belgium? Radhadesh might still be there, might not. And what's Kali Yuga going to be like? What's Kali Yuga going to be like after another 10,000 years? Bit risky. just for 10,000 years will pass just like a flash. It will go so quickly, it will be like, oh, what? Finished already? And you're back here. And what you get here is birth, death, old age, and disease. Great. All that effort to go there, and then you have to come back. In fact, Krishna says that all places in the material world are miserable. Let me see how he says it. Even if you go to the highest planet, Brahmaloka, 816, even if you go to Brahma's planet and live, you know, for a long time in very nice conditions. Brahma Bhuvana Loka Puna Vartana Arjana Mamupacha Tukantaya Puna Janmana Vichite. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Aha! That sounds like a place worth going to. He repeats it later in chapter 15.6. Who knows that one? When I say it, then you'll know it. Namai Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manasat Stani Indriyani. Oh, I'm saying the wrong one. Sorry. That's seven. Natatpa Shaite Suryo Na Shashanko Na Pavaka Yat Gatvana Nivartante Tattama Paramam Nama. That supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. Okay, who wants to go there? You'll get the spiritual body that never gets sick, that never dies, never gets old, and where you can play with Krishna all day, depending on your service. Yeah, great fun. You think you're not going to have fun there? You're definitely going to have fun there. Serving Krishna is great fun. That's why we're starting to practice it here. So, okay, I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any questions? Because we got the higher taste, that's why we give up the other things. Otherwise, why would we do it? I was speaking to some tourists and I said, well, even if there is no spiritual world, still it was good anyway. It was nice anyway. You want to go there? You want to go there? You want? Where do you want to go after you die?
Down here.
You want to come back here?
No.
Do you, well, I mean, where do you want to go? You want to come back here?
Really,
you can come back as often as you want, as long as you don't mind dying every few years.
6 months or two. Serve here and play some maybe also want to run away from my time here for some reason, and I just get to stay as long as I need to use it.
The person who is fully self-realized is quite happy to be here. Prabhupada says two people are completely happy in the material world, the fool and the self-realized soul. And the rest of us are like summer and winter, sometimes it's nice, sometimes it's not. If you want to know how miserable the material world is, I can show you a few places. Okay, thank you very much.